Welcome to Life and Godliness. I am your host, Joanna Simpson, otherwise known as JoSim. So many of us are struggling, stuck, lost, wounded, and hopeless when Jesus came so we could be free and live an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy life. But how can we truly do this if we're bogged down by life's problems? Well, Life and Godliness with JoSim hopes to help persons enjoy life with Christ by sharing Christ-inspired solutions to everyday problems and digging up deep-rooted mindsets that skew our perception of the Father. To quote a popular artist, life is hard, but God is good. And He's patient in our journeys. So join us as we talk about life and godliness. Hi friends, welcome back to the sixth episode of Life and Godliness. This week we are continuing to address the issue of spiritual abuse by looking at biblical leadership and spiritual authority. Today we are joined by Bruce Lengeman, who has lived his life in the people helping arena as a church planter, youth pastor, senior pastor, counselor, and business consultant and writer. He and his wife Ruthie have 9 children and a fast-growing number of grandchildren. Join with us as we explore biblical leadership and why and how God may use the experience of spiritual abuse in our lives for our good and His glory. This is part one of a 2-part series on biblical leadership and spiritual authority. Welcome to Life and Godliness. Bruce, I'm so glad that you're here with us to talk about leadership and spiritual authority. I mean, we've really been going through a series since the beginning of this show. We've spoken about church hurt. We've spoken about, somebody who has gone through serious pain but still has clung to Jesus. We've spoken about spiritual abuse and looking at harsh church rebuke. You know, is it biblical? Is it not biblical? You know, or when are the instances that it is relevant and should be done? And now we just want to look at how should we view and interact with our leaders, you know, especially if one has experienced this kind of abuse. You may not want to interact with the leaders as much, or you may be hesitant. And so we want to discuss that a little bit today. So welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
But before we get into the nitty-gritty of the topic, I wanted to find out a little bit. Could you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and how you entered into a relationship with Christ?
Yes, I am 66 years old, and my wife and I, we work together in ministry, and most mm-hmm. of the ministry we do, we oversee 2 churches, mm-hmm. and we are not the pastors. We are overseas. I used to be the pastor, but I raised up the pastor, mm-hmm. and my wife and I do marriage seminars. We do all sorts of different, you name it, business seminars, anything under the topic of transforming how people live and mm-hmm. transforming how people lead. And that's I met my wife at college. I came into Christ. I was taught nominal Christianity when I was young. Mm-hmm. And maybe at 5 years old, you know, I accepted Jesus into my heart over the course of 5 years, maybe 100 times, you know. Mm-hmm. Know how that is, just again and again and again. But you know, I went into the world during my teenage years,
right?
And on 1972, November 12th, I gave my life totally to Christ. And from that time on, I've been being prepared to be a people helper. And now I have now my wife, who grew up in a Christian family and has always known Christ and has, you know, never gone into the world in any way, but she teaches everything with me. We freedom from a wounded heart. And so the subject of abuse in church we're very, very familiar with, because as a professional counselor, I have sat in the counseling room with countless people, multitudes of people who are recovering from spiritual abuse.
Mm. Could you tell me a little bit about, if you're able to, what are some of the common themes, some of the things that you've found when, you know, amongst the different stories that you've heard?
Well, there's a lot of common themes, I would say. But, you know, of course, control mm-hmm. is the biggie. leaders with who live out of their insecurity, mm-hmm. who live out of rejection, church groups, movements, visions, people who are in leadership who are promoting their own vision mm-hmm. instead of the kingdom vision. Mm-hmm. And there are many sub themes, like minor themes that are attached mm-hmm. to the major themes that that cause leaders to make unacceptable choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I always bring people to the heart and to the heart of what is the kingdom of God all about? Mm-hmm. What is church about too? Because I would say I'm probably don't know anybody who I probably do, but I'm saying 95% of the people I know that I work with have been through some form of abuse that has come from some spiritual environment or church.
Oh wow!
And oh yeah, I mean, but Joanna, the thing about it is these, and again, God doesn't ordain spiritual abuse. Of course he doesn't. But it goes back to the Joseph story again. Mm-hmm. We learn so much about leadership, and we learn so much about the heart of God by being in situations that are out of alignment with what God is doing.
That is true.
And in many ways, God allows people, he doesn't call people out of abusive situations for a couple reasons. And don't let me get ahead of what you want me to say, but one reason is that God has to test us in and under abusive leaders to test whether or not we will be able to honor him and even honor that leader in God. And I'm very careful to say in God, because I don't believe in false submission. I don't believe in false submission, nor do I believe in false loyalty. But I believe that there's many times God puts us in and or allows us to stay in abusive situations to test us and train us to honor in situations that are totally obtuse or totally contrary to the heart of God. And I often say, and I do a lot of leadership training, and I tell young leaders, you can never be a leader until you learn how to honor an unacceptable leader. And that may sound way off, but that's the test sometimes, because what happens is if we learn that, then in places where God treats us in a way that we don't like, that we've already passed the test and we are able to honor God, even in places where we feel like his promises have failed, or where we feel like he had put us on hold and or neglecting us. No, he's not. And so there's a refinement of the heart of God that in an abusive situation, a person has, like always, the ability to become bitter or better.
Yeah.
But there is a place where being in an abusive situation has its boundaries. Mm. Meaning I was in an abusive, under an abusive pastor that I honored for 4 years. But the day came when God said, you don't have to take that anymore. Mm. And at that point in time, there wasn't any loyalty. There wasn't any honor. I went to this gentleman that I had honored for 4 years, and I parted ways. Fortunately, I was able to part ways peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one situation I feel like, yeah. So I'll pause there to see if you have any questions about what I just said.
Wow. When I must say this was not what I expected at all, but it's very refreshing to hear, and definitely, you know, some food for thought. You mentioned the aspect of false submission and false humility. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
I believe that oftentimes, and I'm putting this into a compartment because it doesn't contradict what I just said, but
right.
I believe that people have an idea of submission to leaders, or whatever that may be. That may be a wife to a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's honor and there's submission to leaders, when you become submissive to leaders and you feel like you have to do whatever they say and be whatever they want to be, but it violates your integrity in your relationship with God. I believe there's many people who are, they have a loyalty beyond what God would have them to be loyal.
Mm.
And I'm often helping people determine false loyalty. And now, again, that doesn't contradict what I said the first time. There are different seasons that God takes us in. There are seasons where we have to endure, and where seasons which we have to pray for and we have to honor. But when it gets into the place of where you're unacceptably submitting, and I think the places where you're violating your self-respect, that is where it gets into false loyalty and it gets into false submission. And I'm working with, in Stockton, in the church, we have been working with, especially women, it can happen on the male, on the other side too, but especially women who have been in abusive marriages, and they have stayed in abusive marriages for years, not challenging the abuse of their husband because they have this idea that it's virtuous and loyal to be a doormat.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm talking about women who have been in abusive relationship for 25 years, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off, they get mature, and they just say, no more. You know, this has to change because I can't violate my identity in Christ in order to submit myself to a place of abuse.
So what does that mean? So for example, you know, what are the boundaries, both for somebody who is in a marriage and for perhaps may feel as though they're being spiritually abused, or for somebody who is in a church? Could you give me an example of what are the types of boundaries? So I understand that God may call us to a season where we experience these things, but how do we know when or what boundaries to erect?
You've asked a very relevant question. Let me tell you why. In Jamaica, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere at the top of a mountain, was a retreat center, okay?
Yeah.
In Jamaica, who knows where. I couldn't believe there was actually people there. If I had a little trampoline, I could have touched the moon. That's how high we were. And I addressed these leaders on the topic of boundaries.
Mm.
And now, most of the leaders in that room were women.
Okay.
And I taught on the wisdom of boundaries. And at the end, they just looked at me stunned. There wasn't any amens. There wasn't any people saying, yes. You know, there was no enthusiasm whatsoever. And after the end of my short teaching, it wasn't a long teaching, I stopped and said, what's going on? And all of these leaders, you know, they said, we didn't even know there was a such a thing. We didn't even know we were allowed to have boundaries.
Mm. Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just like, we don't have that privilege. And I said, well, you know, you cannot effectively serve Christ unless you know how to set up healthy boundaries in your life. And boundaries is a big part of protecting your self-respect. So we went to some of those areas. What does it mean to set boundaries? For example, if you're in an abusive situation, let's just say an example here. There are places where you, and all of this, and Dana, it's very hard to give what are those places because so much depends on an individual abiding in Christ and listening to what God is saying in their individual situation.
Okay.
But what I find is if the person is insecure in their spiritual relationship with God, if they don't know who I am, you know, the song, we were introduced to the song, I Know Who I Am, you know?
Yes.
And we've sung it and played it at our conferences 1,000 times since then. But if someone can't sing it and mean it, I know who I am, then how to set boundaries can be very elusive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because are they going to set boundaries according to their insecurity and their lack of identity in Christ? But when you know who you are in Christ, Joanna, there's just a place where you realize that you cannot submit to something that's outside the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to get mean and nasty and rebel. It just means that you have to set boundaries and you have to take steps even to reconcile it or to leave that situation. Okay, now, let me give you a situation. Years ago, I was in a room. And all of a sudden, I mean, the Spirit of God came to me and he said this to me. He said, if I love you, why shouldn't you love you? Hmm. And that may sound like duh, but it changed my life. Because I realized that God wanted me to love myself in an agape way. The same way as I love other people.
Mm.
And then he said, you can never love other people more than you love yourself, agape.
Yeah.
And that was an affirmation of self-respect. It wasn't the eros love of the world, saying I'm better than you and I love myself and I'm great. It's not that kind of thing. It's just flowing with how God loves us. And treating ourselves with the same dignity and respect that we would tell other people or expect other people to treat other people with that same kind of respect and dignity. Mm-hmm. We treat ourselves that way. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life. Mm-hmm. And so for someone who's in a situation like that, there's a point, and the second point here, number one, they have to treat themselves with self-respect and they can't submit to something that's not kingdom abuse. And I'm saying there's a place where you honor, but there's a place where honor isn't the way you do it. It's honoring Christ and the kingdom principles above honoring a man. But the second thing is when you are submitting to a situation that is also abusing other people, and you are being wind to the back of somebody who not only you're under abuse, but other people are being abused too, and you are being passive with that.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that, one, the Lord can and may call us to operate under a spiritually abusive leader, as well as honor him in Christ, or her in Christ. But there are ways that even in that space, we can erect boundaries. And I think one of the things that I'm understanding from what you're saying is that it's important to have a secure relationship with Christ under that abusive leader. Because when you are able to have a secure understanding of how Christ views you and how much he loves you and believe that about yourself, then you perhaps are able to erect boundaries in your mind in which the spiritually abusive leader, though he is abusing you on the outside, he's unable to affect you in a sense on the inside.
You said that You said that so well. That was brilliant. Yeah. You summarized what I'm saying very well. Absolutely. There. And again, you can't put ABCs on it. It's a place where you must listen to the Holy Spirit to see what season you're in. Mm. But when you're under a situation, okay, and God calls you to honor, the same way is if you were an employee of a bad employer, that you have to honor that employer.
Right.
Okay. When you're in that situation, what God is doing is for you. He's training your heart so that you will understand the ways that you don't want to treat people or never will treat people as you do with the leadership.
Mm. Well, Bruce, I must say, these are some hard truths. Very hard truths, because just to think about the challenges and, you know, that comes when being under, or what could come when being under an abusive leader, and the fact that God calls you to stay there and that he's trying your heart. I mean, you see these things in the scriptures. You see what Joseph went through and you're like, hallelujah, I'm happy that he got through. I see how he went from, you know, the prison cell to being Pharaoh's right-hand assistant, and it sounds like a glorious story, but just not for you.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. But I understand, and I'm hearing, you know, just God is good. You know, God, he is after our lives. He's after our hearts, and it's a very interesting thing to hear what you've said and how it has built on the other things that have been said before in other episodes. One of the things that I know is that, you know, persons who may be coming from this type of spiritually abusive situation, you know, we may think of, so we spoke about, you know, this spiritually abusive leader who, as you said, controls, sometimes manipulates, intimidates, coerces, and sometimes they're well-intentioned. So it's not like they're trying to, you know, do something bad, and it can be very confusing to us, you know, and sometimes it can be hard to trust another leader again, both their theology and their leadership style, because, you know, for example, you know, the theology might be a mix of truth, you know, a mix of, in a sense, legalism and a grace-based approach. And, you know, their leadership style just might be autocratic and strong, you know, but coming from this situation, you know, like, how do you trust another leader? How do you know that this leader now has a trait to lead you and help you to mature in Christ?
When we left that abusive situation for 4 years, we went into another situation. Wow. Of somebody that we knew who had planted a church, and he was much older than us. And I had, Ruthie and I felt like, okay, here's somebody that's going to be a spiritual father to us. And Joanna, he was not a spiritual father. He was very insecure. He ran the church with insecurities. For example, he would create one of the worst things a pastor can do. He would do pulpit blasting.
Pulpit shaming.
Yeah, and instead of confronting problems face-to-face in love and being a shepherd who corrects the sheep, he would blast them from the pulpit. And every week, I mean, that's just a horrible habit. That is, it's almost wicked to do that. But it's because a lot of insecure pastors, and if you read the book, you know what I mean. They're peacekeepers instead of peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Peacemaking confronts issues and problems, but they do it in love. Peacekeepers are always trying to find indirect routes. So we went to this gentleman, and we stayed under him. Now, Let me take you somewhere here, okay? And it's probably good that I couldn't do last week, okay, for the family there, because last night we got home from a 3-day conference. And well, no, blah, blah, blah. Let me not call it a conference. It was a gathering of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in about 2.5 hours from here. And it was from a well-known apostolic voice in Dover. And this man, who has tremendous international and national influence, invited leaders that he is he's familiar with. A lot of these leaders are, you know, world travelers, prophets, pastors, whatever. And but he was selective. It wasn't a big. And we got there, and we were sitting around in a circle, and there was about 40 men and women, because he really, really he's a man who really releases women, and so the idea was, we weren't going to have any teachings. We were going to just talk about what it means to be a father, a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And here there were, you know, usually when you go to these pastors' meetings, you know, the first question anybody asks you is, how big is your church? You know,
didn't hear
any of that. This was leaders who didn't only want to talk about servant leadership, but they wanted to live it. And servant leadership means that you walk through the hard times with people, you get down on their level, you still lead, but you serve as you lead. But one of the things that is really missing, Joanna, and this I think may click with you, we do not need more leaders in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
We need fathers and mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a big difference. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 something or other, he said, you know, you have many leaders, you have many tutors, people that will tell you what to do, but you don't have many fathers in Christ. He says, I birthed you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place where we, the body of Christ, has so many leaders who don't know how to be fathers, spiritual fathers and mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Almighty God, who's called, I mean, in the New Testament, it doesn't even give his name. There's no name for the Father in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it El Shaddai, Jehovah, whatever? Never, no name. It's just the Father or God, which is a generic term. And he represents himself as a Father. And yet, as leaders in Christ, there's a drought of fathering. And fathering is so totally different. It is another dimension of leading that in abusive relationships, you don't have fathers. Fathers, and you've read my book, fathers value the people they value them. Another part is, one of the ways you can test whether someone's abusive or not, can you disagree with them?
Mm-hmm.
A leader that can't accept healthy disagreement is a control freak, because we all need, in fact, I'm going to tell you, no group, no leadership team, no business, no church will ever move forward unless they honor the virtue of healthy disagreement. And I said, healthy disagreement.
Right.
But when you have leaders that say, well, you're disrespecting me because you're disagreeing with me, or you're opposing something, or you're challenging something I've done, that person is not a father.
But what does a father look like? Because even I remember reading, I think a book about, you know, a woman talking about spiritual parents. And for me, it could just be me, but it was very hard to accept. It seemed, again, like another autocratic system where, I guess, you were in a parent-child relationship again as a young child, and it was sit down, you know, stand up, you know, just this kind of unquestioning type of relationship where you're told what to do and you need to listen, or else you're, you know,
that's not fathering a mother. You know, that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's just another form of abusive leadership, you know. And when I say fathering, I father a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I have an authority over them. I never in my fathering require them to do what I say. I am there to give fatherly advice to grown adults, to young leaders, and I just help guide them. It's not like I have this formal relationship where with all the people. Some of them want it. I mean, I'm mentoring the pastor of our church. Oh, in fact, both the pastors of the two churches I'm mentoring, we get together weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And they defer respect to me. And they call me a spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
But never once do they feel like there's a yoke of false authority that they have to enter into false loyalty and false submission to what I say. Mm-hmm. No, I'm helping them, simply helping them to find God. That's all. What's mm-hmm. God saying? You see? And there may be areas where I will give an opinion or a thought that they just grab hold of
mm-hmm.
and whatever. But I don't require that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're talking about is what happened back in the 80s here in the States. It was called the Sheep Shepherding Movement.
Yes.
And where this area of fathering came out and mothering. And so, I mean, I actually was telling, it told people who to marry, you know? It told people when they could date, when they couldn't date. When you have that kind of environment, when you have a positional authority over someone you call a son, it ends up to be most of the time a ridiculous form of control.
Mm. And it's interesting you say that, because I was going to ask just about that, you know, in terms of I heard about the shepherding movement and just, you know, in my readings and, you know, on spiritual abuse, I'm coming to understand is that the whole concept of spiritual covering kind of came from the shepherding movement. And it sounds somewhat like a remnant that has remained, you know, and has somehow been infused in the church culture as how we are to relate to, you know, leaders, and that's the type of authority that they should have. And so, you know, just this whole aspect of, you know, are you spiritually covered? You know, do you have a father? You know, so there is just this sense and atmosphere that surrounds leaders that, you know, the Bible does say, and Paul does talk about giving double honor to those who teach you. And how do we know what's the right type of honor? What is biblical? What is a biblical way of honoring authority?
Well, Joanna, you ask very good questions, okay? I'm sure I can see that you're very designed for this, because that's a good question too. Let me tell you this. We have one head, and that head is Christ. And there is no person in the multitude of people that I shepherd and father and lead that needs to obey me short of obeying the Holy Spirit. My role in their life is to lead them to the head, which is Christ.
Thank you so much, Bruce, for coming on the show and for sharing your personal experiences as well as the principles from your book. My listeners can find the link to purchase the book on Amazon on my personal page. That's Instagram, Journeying with Joe. You can find the link on my page. And it is a very good book. I encourage everyone to get it, whether you're a leader in the church, a leader in your business, a manager in your business, even the head of a family. I believe it is something that is important for us to know as we seek to empower each person as a leader in Christ to establish kingdom culture in the earth. And so I just again want to thank you, Bruce, for coming on the show.
This was part one of a two-part series with Bruce Lengeman speaking on the topic Leadership and Spiritual Authority. Join me next week as we continue the discussion.